Father God, you know I have no business being up here, but yet I'm here. And I would ask that your Holy Spirit would put in my mouth the words that you want me to say, and that you would take the message and personalize it for each and every listener. I ask that you would condescend to join us now. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verse 25. When you're there, say amen. Verse 25 says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, 'What shall I do to inherit eternal life?'" 26, "He said unto him, 'What is written in the law? How readest thou?'" Verse 27, "And he answered, saying, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, and all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself.'" You know, I often wonder how often, maybe I don't often think about this, but I've thought in the past how often Michael Jordan had to deal with guys on the street coming up to him saying, "I bet I can take you in a game of one-on-one." You know, it's for the simple bragging rights of either saying that I beat him, arguably the best basketball player in the history of the NBA, or that I just got to play with him. I mean, what a great story to tell your grandkids, right? So here you have this lawyer who is tempting or testing Jesus. He's looking for some one-on-one action with Christ. "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus answers, "What is written in the law?" You know, in his parables, and Jesus was known to engage the people with their particular professions. With fishermen, he talked about fish. With the sower, he talked about seed. With the Pharisees, he talked about the word. And now with this lawyer, he engages him with the law. Answering the question with a question is something that we're pretty used to seeing in the medical center. I'm going to spare you the term that we use this morning, but Jesus uses it here in this particular instance. But I don't want you to be mistaken. I don't want you to think that Jesus goes into hair splitting. And I take the hair splitting thing pretty personally. I'm kind of sensitive about that. Over the past few years, I've been coming to Advent Hope, and sometimes seeing our small groups break up, and we would have these wonderful discussions, And it was always interesting to see that brother that shoots his hands up in there and ooh, please pick me. And then when he's given an opportunity to speak, he says, well, he starts out his comment by saying, "Well, you're going to think I'm totally crazy about the way I see this," but, and then he goes on to explain something, just to get the corporate gasp from the group, or "Wow, I've never seen it that way." I would have a word of warning when our Sabbath school or our church becomes a platform for debate, because sometimes this thing would go back and forth and back and forth. If I'm right, then I have biblical defense. I must also remember to be righteous and deferential and respectful. Remember that there is something just a bit more important than having knowledge or even gaining new knowledge, and that is living what you already know. This is much more important than convincing someone else that their point of view is wrong and yours is right. I'm cautious of individuals who want to engage in theological discussion, chiefly because, I'm more interested in the spirit with which we approach that discussion. It's much more important to me. Remember, our church often loses members, and it has nothing to do with our theology or our doctrine. It has to do with members. It has to do with people who are talking the talk but not walking the walk. Now, if you ever heard me speak before, I'm painfully practical. And so, you know, I often say things that I need to hear myself, so don't take it so personal. But if you need to, take it personally. So he squashes this question, what could be an incredible debate in public. He squashes it by saying, how readest thou? How do you see it? It's interesting how the lawyer asked Jesus a question about salvation, and Jesus refers him to the law. The Bible has been shown to teach with this concept of review and enlarge. Have you heard of this? Yes? Review and enlarge. You see it in the prophecies, you see it in Christ's parables as well. And he's using it here as well. How am I saved? Review and enlarge. John 3:16 says, you just have to believe. Mark 16:16 says, you got to believe and be baptized. And so here he says, you have to follow the law, do this, and you shall live. I don't see how you can separate those. And let me explain why. You see, it all happens in a time continuum. They're not exclusive. In the moment I believe, in the next moment, I show the world that I believe through baptism. And in the remaining moments of my life, I keep the law. I'm saved by loving the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul and all my strength and all my mind, and my neighbor as myself. You follow what I'm saying? I didn't lose you, right? How people nail the law to the crosses and make it irrelevant, for us today is just beside me. I mean, the lawyer asked this question, and Christ made it painfully obvious. Christ said, thou hast read well, now go and do. Seems pretty simple. Sometimes I believe the gospel is so simple. In other words, Christ wanted to say, young man, you know the law. I know the law. What are we talking about here? What are we discussing? Why don't you go and live the law and let's stop talking so much? You know enough, Jesus says. You know enough. It seems as though there comes a time to stop talking and start doing. Amen? Can you agree with that? Are you a lawyer here this morning? Not you, Chris. I know you're a lawyer. But you know what I mean. Are you a lawyer here this morning? I mean, anyone who's talking more than their share? You know, Christ had a brief warning for lawyers in his day, in the very next chapter of the text that we're reading, in Luke chapter 11, you can turn there, just one page, verse 52. And it says like this, woe unto you, lawyers, for ye have taken away the key of knowledge. Ye entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering, you have hindered. Notice what Christ says that the lawyers are doing. They had taken away the key of knowledge of the people. They had the education. They had the key to knowledge. But they didn't enter themselves. And they didn't let anyone else enter. What knowledge is this? The knowledge of the law, which is what? The character of God. And those who wanted to enter, they forbade. In Spanish, there's a saying that goes a little like this. No come ni deja comer. And what does that mean? It means he has food, he doesn't eat, but he doesn't let others eat either. So Christ took issue with this, with the lawyers. Beloved, there is no limit, no restriction on the knowledge of God that we can glean from the Bible. In fact, in the end of time, the Bible says in Habakkuk 2, verse 14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God, as the waters cover the sea." So my soliloquy this morning is entitled, "You Know Something." No. It's entitled, "You Know Enough." It's actually part two of a series that Brad Strother started at the end, actually at the beginning of May, and he stole my title. So this is part two. He was giving his testimony, and it was a shot, a booster, so to speak, for us to do something with the knowledge we have, to actually get active in evangelism, in ministry, to get active and do something. So you know enough, but you know enough of what? What is this knowledge that you have? 2 Corinthians, turn with me, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of" who? Seems simple, right? You all have an experience with Jesus, or maybe you don't. So then you wouldn't have anything to share. The point is to share that experience. So you got to get that experience. On the flip side, you know, the Bible actually warns of quite the opposite. Turn with me in your Bibles to Ecclesiastes, the very first chapter. Ecclesiastes, first chapter, verse 18. The Bible says, "For in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow." If we go to the end of the book of Ecclesiastes, to chapter 12, verse 12, it says, "And further by these, my son, be admonished of making many books. There is no end, and much study is weariness of the flesh." Some of you who are starting medical or dental school wish you would have read that before you came, huh? There's sense in that. There's actually wisdom in that. There comes a point where you have enough, at least enough to share. Maybe not enough to graduate, but you have enough to share. Here's the point. You know enough. How many of us have felt God move upon our hearts that we need to get involved with ministry? That you need to start a Bible study, you know? You know, there's so many ministries on this campus. Excel, there's, you know, the ministries we have here at Advent Hope. All it takes is for you to just raise your hand, step forward, and say, "I want to get involved." It changes your life. You want a shot of energy in your spiritual walk? Oh, I just, you know, get involved. You know how uncomfortable it feels to sit down in a Bible study and someone asks you a question and you don't know the answer to? Man, I say, "Look, you know what? That's cool. I don't know the answer to that one, but give me a week." I go home. I get closer. I go back. I share. And then another question comes. If you don't know enough, if you think you don't know enough, that's the perfect excuse to get involved. Because in getting involved, you will learn. You know enough. Turn with me in your Bibles to John 4:39. just one short little verse here. John 4:39. And it says, the Bible says this, "And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, 'He told me all I ever did.'" Let me ask you a question. How much knowledge of the scriptures did this Samaritan woman have? She had a brief couple minutes, an encounter with Christ. That's all she had. That's all she had. And yet how many people of that city were saved? How many of those people came to believe in Christ? That's a pretty powerful testimony. Each one of us has a testimony. If your concern is that you don't know enough, maybe we just need to obey. Maybe we just need to obey the Great Commission. Remember the lepers that Jesus Christ healed? He said, "Go and show yourselves to" who? The priests. And as they went, what happened? They were healed. But they had to obey. Maybe we need to obey the Great Commission. And as we obey, we are healed. We are saved. We are changed. The story is the same for the demoniacs of Gadara that Jesus healed. All they had was a testimony. You all have a testimony. All they had was a testimony. And how receptive were they to Jesus Christ when he returned because of their testimony? I don't know enough. How many more Sabbaths must we come to church or to Advent Hope or whatever just to spectate? Just to glean some pearl that you didn't know before. God can use you now, where you are, with the knowledge that you have, how meager it may be. You know, one time I was teaching in the undergraduate oral surgery clinic here at Loma Linda, and I had a student walk in, and I was looking at something that Paul Yu had emailed me on the state of the dead. And it was a really good, discussion. And she walked in. It was a student. She looked over my shoulder. She's like, "What are you reading?" And I was like, "Oh, this is nothing." And I turned the computer so that she can't read it. She said, "No, I want to see it. I want to see it." "No, it's really boring." Like, I totally am dampering. I'm totally damping her interest in spiritual things. I'm like, "This isn't important. Don't worry about it." You know? You know, God actually convicted me about what I had done, and I actually had a Bible study with that girl for 6 months, and three of her friends as well. You know enough. I'm going to close with a quote from Ellen White. And now, last time I did this, I was cornered by a brother who was incensed that I closed with a quote from Ellen White. But let me ask you a question. Did we get into the Bible today? Amen? Hey, you know, if it wasn't for that sister, we wouldn't be at Loma Linda probably. And I think she had some pretty good advice. And so in the pages of Faith I Live By, page 247, it says this: "He that hath an ear, let him hear. To everyone who offers himself to the Lord for service, withholding nothing, is given power for the attainment of measureless results. For those God will do great things. To young men and young women, as well as those that are older." You guys can look it up. I'm not making this up. "As well as those who are older, God will give power from above. With converted minds, converted hands, converted feet, and converted tongues, their lips touched with the living coal from the divine altar, they will go forth into the Master's service, moving steadily onward and upward, carrying the work forward to completion." How's that bad advice? How can you be incensed by that. You know, sometimes I wonder if all the energy that we put forth into bickering and debating and saying, you know, the character of God, the nature of Christ, you know, all this, if we would just take that energy and put it into telling someone who has never heard of Jesus Christ, I don't think we'd be here anymore. This do, and thou shalt live. That's what Jesus said. This morning, my challenge to you is to stop talking and start doing. And for the millionth time, I still don't understand how this is an issue. For the millionth time, you're not doing this to be saved. It's because you are saved by grace, and you're telling the world. It has been granted to you. Let's get involved. If you have any questions on how to get involved, I will be gladly at the end of the hallway over there, shaking hands, not to bicker. Don't tell me about Ellen White. Tell me about how you want to get involved. Amen? Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for this opportunity to share with my brothers and sisters here in our Sabbath school what has been my experience, the things that you've done in my life. Lord, all of us have a testimony to give. All of us have a testimony to share. Lord, if only you would grant us the courage to step forward in faith. And Lord, we know that there's nothing that you can do with a word we don't say. And there's nothing that you can do with an action that we don't do, Father. Please, give us the courage to get involved. We're tired of this place. We want to be with you. We love you, Father. We thank you for all you've done for us. We thank you for saving us, Lord. Show us what to do now. Give us the courage. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.